up. I have to look at my phone to get everyone's title correctly. I'm very sorry about this. We have an we have someone who works here. Hey, you read every single damn lyric of that song. Give me a break. We have someone who works here at the Chicago Design Museum. He is the chair of great ideas at the Design Museum. So if you think this was not a great idea, I think it's on this guy. This is Nick Adam.
Michael Jordan and Walter Payton come to mind when thinking about practice, and it's on and off the field, not solely game day. It involves launch energy, so I'd like us to start our first 5 minutes off with a little bit of some energetic but light arm exercises. So with this being Design Week and us kind of podcasting from the Chicago Design Museum, I'm just kind of curious, how many people here identify as designers? Excellent. So, I don't know. I'd say that's like 65%. And keep your hands up of you who identify as a Chicago designer. Same, maybe, oh, two people dropped out. Okay, and of everyone that has their hands up, who tonight has concealed or concealed a handgun? No one. Great. So no handguns are in the building. As a lifelong resident of Chicago, I have felt the wrath of this issue. I, too, am a Chicago designer, graphic designer, I like to say, and I practice something that I like to call maybe radical honesty. And what is radical honesty? It's a motherfucker. And that's not my definition of it. I borrowed the definition from a person named Kristen Luque. Kristen is a fun, brilliant, Princeton-educated writer that I worked with at a place called Firebelly Design. So today, I'm going to be radically honest towards how to practice radical honesty as a form of practice. Sometimes, I don't know where to start. And that's not to say that I don't know how to begin. It's just that everything around has so much surrounding context that that there's just an infinite amount of plausible beginnings to every single moment. And in my opinion, very few of them are wrong. Radical honesty as my graphic design process means creating moments that allow for a context to present itself, and then translating that evidence into form. Proof verified equaling proof in some ways, or content completely aligning just as content and form aligning as one. This is a management of expectations, and it can be likened to the predicting of futures by telling what's plausibly about to happen. I can excite, gauge excitement, and then in response build this exciting thing, all the while understanding fears and dancing around people's fears. This dialogue makes the work happen fast, fairly accurate to what's being described, and clients tend to feel engaged, heard, and by doing so, I have minimal revisions. The work itself, it avoids compromise, it's beautiful. Audiences seem to respond to it, awards are won, and pats are like found on backs. Every year, each project seems to improve, and while I'm incredibly proud of the work that I and the teams I'm on have made, I recently stumbled into something that I can only describe as unexpected, and that is to say that expectations deny discoveries. This is also to say that practice doesn't make perfect. Practice can make perfect, however, perfect is in a constant state of flux. For the practitioner, perfect is constantly changing. Our reality is one of exponential depth. The longer we investigate, the further we see. What was once perfect was aimed for and was achieved, and then in a post facto manner was re-rationalized, releasing new narratives, new thoughts, new realities. In my 20s, I had a series of friends pass away, and some of them were in innocent, violent manners. And this experience forced me to define my dreams. I'm not sure what middle age means for my generation. However, I'm half of 70 years old. And last year, I took some time to be radically honest to myself. And what I found is that I've achieved most of my dreams that I set out early on. The one left being to never retire. It seems that without some disruption, my path was pointed towards repeating past successes or having variations on past successes, so I decided to define the dream further. To be constantly increasing my ability to articulate ideas formally, theoretically, and verbally. I resigned from my director position that I held for 5 years, gave a 4-month notice to ensure everything was comfortable, and then I began seeking freelance engagements with teams that excited me, many of which I landed. I began getting tapped for work, some of which I said yes to, and this has allowed me to work in new ways, to practice in a manner informed by many different designers from many different backgrounds. I believe for me to go further than I currently have an understanding of, I must widen my understanding or my scope of practice. On September 8th, I'm going to begin to disrupt my understanding of form, practice, and possibilities as a candidate for an MFA from the Rhode Island School of Design. My next 2 years of practice will be an exploration around the ideas of innovation, futures, adjacent possibles towards societal and cultural impact through visual language. The only things I could be more excited about are the following. Trump being completely crippled from all forms of political office globally forever. Affordable mass desalination of water, and this is something we all must like start really working towards, as well as us doing something about these guns. Thank you.
Nick Adams. Best of luck at RISD, man. That is incredible. What is perfect? You know, a wise man once said, "The enemy of perfect is good." Do you guys know who said that? That was Dr. Doom in The Secret Wars. So we all.